Beautiful Sunday morning. It's warm outside, but guess what? It's not in here. So I'm thankful for that. I asked Brother Joe if he thought it was too cold. He said, no, Pastor, it's perfect. So I'm thankful for that. 1 John chapter number 2 this morning. 1 John chapter number 2. Good to see kids. First John chapter number 2. Be back over in verse number 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1. When you're there, say amen. 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 The Bible says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again this morning for your word, for your truth. Lord, thank you for another opportunity to lift up our voices and our hearts in prayer to you. Lord, it is our heart's desire here at New Hope Independent Baptist Church, Lord, that you meet with us today. Lord, bind the devil off this place. We don't want him anywhere around here. Thank you for the families that are here this morning that have came, Lord, because they want to hear your word. They want to open up your word and just study it and glean from it. Meet with us now, Lord, as we learn about your son, Jesus, our advocate. Thank you so much for that advocate that we learned about last week. We're going to go into a little bit more today and learn about the knowledge of our advocate and how he wants us to have knowledge about him so that we can make it through this thing called life. And Lord, we know with you all things are possible. Lord, meet with us now. Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Yeah, last week we talked about how our advocate was a very passionate God. How many believe that that's true? Our advocate is very passionate. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about how our advocate is full of knowledge. And not only do we know that Jesus, the advocate, and God the Father are definitely full of knowledge. How many would agree with that? But did you know that he desires for you to know him? He desires for you as a Christian, as a man and a woman, to know and have knowledge about him as the Father. And he also desires for you to have knowledge about who Jesus really is. It bothers me sometimes that people don't really recognize what they have in Jesus Christ and who they really are in Jesus Christ. So today I want to talk about how our advocate is full of knowledge. I believe he wants us as his children to understand knowledge. Go with me to Proverbs chapter number 18 this morning. Proverbs chapter number 18. We'll be using this book of 1 John chapter 2 to spring off into the next few weeks of Sunday school. Proverbs chapter number 18. In verse number 15, the Bible says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. That word prudent means wise or judicious in practical affairs. Now, how many of you think it'd be pretty important as Christians to really be wise and understand what's actually going on in our world today? You know, the problem we have in America, we always want to point fingers at the lost crowd, but God's pretty clear that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will what, church? Heal their land. God didn't say if the lost people will stop doing what lost people do. See, I think we've lost the idea that it's important that we as Christians have a very deep responsibility for our nation. We have a responsibility for our homes. We have a responsibility in our workplaces. We have a responsibility in our churches. But listen, if we're not taking part in the practical things of this world, and when I say taking part, I don't mean taking part in doing what they're doing. I'm talking about recognizing that around you there's a lost and dying world, and they need Jesus. And who are we as Christians to just sit back, go to our churches on Sunday mornings, worship the Lord, and not worry about what's going on around us? When I say worry, I don't mean it's going to, because ultimately your destination is heaven. You can't change that, and neither can anybody else, and I'm thankful that I can't go to hell. If you can't go to hell, say amen. Amen. Listen, I'm thankful for that, but wouldn't it be good if we as Christians start thinking about, instead of worrying about the sins of the world so much and getting ourselves all downhearted and weary, wouldn't it be good if we just started saying, okay, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start praying for every abortion doctor in the United States. I don't know their names, but you know their names. And I know, God, if you changed my heart and convicted me unto salvation, that your Holy Spirit is capable of doing the same thing for them. Or what if we said, God, here's what I'm going to do. I have a burden for the things. I mean, we're not going to go into all the personal sins, but wouldn't it be good if I'm going to start praying for the daddies that grow up and busted homes. That's what I'm trying to say. Wouldn't it be good if we just started saying, you know what, I'm going to start praying, God, that you will transform and convict these dads and convict them unto salvation and help them learn how to be better daddies through your word. Did you know that prayer works, church? Prayer is what can make a better daddy. Prayer is what can make a better mom. Instead of sitting around and talking about how bad it is, listen, every time you lift their name up to the Father, He hears you. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, you know what it does, church? It availeth much. And I'm not saying, oh, I prayed for that man yesterday. I ain't going to pray for him again for a couple weeks. No. How big is your God? We're going to talk about that later in the second service, about how are you convinced who your God is, and if not, why? But look, how big is your God? Do you really believe that God could save that man that's been on your heart? Do you really believe that God could save that lady that's been on your heart? Let's get personal. Do you really believe that God could save that mom or that dad or that child? Do you really believe that God could bring that wayward child back home? Have you read your Bible? Look over there in the book of Luke. But let me give you some help here. God didn't bring that kid back home by that mom and dad constantly bailing them out of trouble. That young man had to hit rock bottom and realize that mom and dad weren't going to help him out anymore financially and physically. You know what? You hear people say it all the time. Well, what if he doesn't have a place to live? Well, maybe he'll wake up and realize there's something I can do about that. You don't have to bail them out. But look, we need to be wise about the practical things of this world. We as Christians should be wise and seek knowledge in this day and age. So what does it mean to get knowledge? To have knowledge means to know or to be aware of things. Knowledge is understanding gained through learning or experience. How many with an uplifted hand would say, I've gained some knowledge through some experiences in life? I'm going to tell you a story. This is a funny story. How many like to laugh? Well, get your laughing, you know, plug it in, because you're probably about to laugh at my harm that was done to me by my grandmother. Some of you already laughing. But look, you know, I gained some knowledge one time. You know, I don't know how your parents or grandparents were, but when my grandparents said something, I was raised by my grandparents, for those of you who don't know that, but when they said something, it really wasn't an option for me. And, you know, sometimes I thought, well, I don't really like that, but I don't never ever really remember a time telling my grandmother no, or my grandpa, no, I ain't doing that. Look, I had a fear of them. They instilled that in me at a very young age. I was scared to death of them. Look around us today. Do you think that kids are growing up the same as we grew up? Now, whose fault is that? Is that the kid's fault? God gave us as parents a very deep responsibility. Well, something I learned, some knowledge I gained growing up was, if I don't listen to my grandmother and grandfather and I break those rules, there's going to be some pain inflicted. So one time, I think I was 10 or 11. My grandparents had just started letting me, I had graduated from the BB gun and the 22 to being able to go out, you know, with me and my squirrel dog. I used to have a squirrel dog. Her name was Tiny. And we'd go squirrel hunting, and they brought me a 12 gauge. And they let me use that thing, but when they were home. They didn't want me to mess with the guns when they weren't home. And, you know, the rule of thumb is, in my house, an unloaded gun don't do any damage, so keep that thing loaded, okay? That's just how my grandparents rolled. Every gun was put back loaded. I don't know how you feel about that, but that's how they were. Well, my grandma woke up one day, and my grandpa was out of town, and she said, okay, I'm going with your mom, and we're going to the Auburn football game. How many like Auburn? Say War Eagle. How many like Alabama? Say Roll Tide. Yeah, praise the Lord. We got some saved people in the house today. But anyway, praise the Lord. But look, she went off to the football game, and, you know, naturally she said, okay, Drew, I know, you know, you've been able to use the gun. We've let you do that. But look, I'm leaving. Your granddaddy's not home. Don't touch the what? guns while I'm gone. So she's so smart. It drove me crazy how smart she was. My wife's laughing already. She knows this story, and it's going to end good. But she left, and they went on to their football game, and I'm sitting there thinking, what am I supposed to do by myself out in the country all day by myself? I'm supposed to just sit inside and do nothing? And here's what happened. I started looking outside, and I started seeing these little furry things jumping through the trees, and I'm like, ooh, nobody's here. And those squirrels are just, like, daring me to disobey. So I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, I got sense enough to realize that Auburn's a few hours away, and there's a football game that's going to last a few hours and then a few hours to get back, and we're only, like, halfway through this thing. So I walk into my grandma's room, and I grabbed the gun, and I got my dog, and off we went. We went hunting, and we had a pretty good day. I mean, I don't remember how many squirrels. We killed a bunch of them. Good day. Well, I didn't realize that I chambered a round in that gun. You guys see where I'm going with this? I chambered a round in that gun. I didn't realize that it wasn't already loaded. I didn't think about it. So when I got done, I put it back loaded, because that's how I always was instructed to put them back. Well, she came home, and it was weird. She didn't even say hi. She walked right by me, went into her room, and I heard the click. I'm like, what is she doing? The gun's loaded. She comes back out, and she says, how was squirrel hunting today? I'm like, come again? Don't you know you told me not to go squirrel hunting while you were gone? She said, how many did you kill? I said, a bunch of them. I was caught red-handed. Well, needless to say, you know, this was Saturday afternoon, and she said, oh, well, I'm glad you had fun. Well, she put the gun back. She didn't say anything else about it. We got up the next morning, went to church, and I thought, maybe she's having some mercy. I don't know what's going on here, but I didn't like this feeling either, really. I knew that it really wasn't going to be over, but it kind of felt good to realize she didn't take care of it right then. Well, she cooked lunch, and we ate lunch, and I went outside, and I was playing, and all of a sudden, I heard that screen door open, and I heard, Drew! I'm like, oh, she's in the backyard already. And the backyard is where we met with the Lord, if you know what I mean. It wasn't in the house. It was in the backyard where all the peach trees were. And you know where I'm coming from. We can't do that to kids no more, or you go to jail. But I heard her call my name, and I came over, and I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, you didn't think you was going to get away with that, did you? I said, no, I honestly didn't think I was going to get away with it. And look, she talked to me and helped me understand the dangers of what could have happened and all this and that. Well, needless to say, you know how it ended. I got tore up from the floor up, and, you know, I remember that to this day. Anybody ever had something like that happen? You know what she did? She made sure that I understood that anything could have happened while she was gone. And see, as an 11-year-old boy, I didn't think about that. I didn't think, well, so what if I shoot myself? You don't think about that. You're shooting squirrels, right? You're just trying to have a good time. But what if I would have? And no one would have been there to help. Can I tell you something, church? I never did that again. As a matter of fact, I didn't have to get a whole pile of spankings growing up, because when she did it, it was so bad that there was not even a thought in my mind of doing the same thing twice, Brother Tim, ever. Anybody ever got whooped like that? Listen, why don't kids do that today? I don't know, but I know this. I learned something. I gained some knowledge that day. Did you know that God is really the same way? You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is what, church? Every single time we go against His word, you just picture this next time. Every single time you choose to do something wrong, just picture your Savior hanging on the cross, and He's not there anymore. Thank God we don't serve a dead Savior. But picture Him on the cross there before He's dying. And picture that Roman soldier driving those nails through his hands and driving those nails through his feet and pushing that crown of thorns down over his brow. And picture your sin is the reason that that had to happen. Your sin is the reason that Christ had to hang before the foundations of the world. That was because of you. It'd be good if we'd gained some knowledge and learned that God's way is always right. To get this knowledge, the Lord desires us, and we must seek Him. Proverbs chapter number 8. You should be in Proverbs 17 right now. Flip back a few chapters. Proverbs chapter number 8 and verse 17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early, what does it say? shall find me. You know, I don't think that necessarily means a time of day. You know what I think that means, church? I think what God's trying to tell us here is in life, there's going to be times where you're going to realize that you need me. And did you know the earlier that we seek him in our trial, in our tribulation, in our everyday life, the quicker he's going to be there to advocate. Why is it that we naturally turn to us and everybody else and things around us for help? I like what Brother Scott said on Wednesday night. You know what we turn to today in America? Money. We think money's going to fix everything. All it's going to do is pay the next bill. That's what it's going to do. Sure, your house payment's going to get paid, your car payment's going to get paid, but at the end of the month, you sit back, and if you're like me, you're just like, where'd it go? The same place it's about to go in a couple more days when the new month rolls around. To the bills again. By the way, when you die, you ain't got no bills, but guess what? You ain't taking your money with you either. You know, it reminds me of a funny story that this lady and her husband were getting on up in age, and her husband had gotten told by the doctor that he had a couple months to live and he needed to get his will taken care of, and this man was a multimillionaire. And he said, one thing I got to tell you, he went to his lawyer and he said, look, I don't want any of my money to go to anybody. I want my money to be buried with me. I don't want my money to go to my wife. I don't want my money to go to my children. It's going to be with me. A couple months went by and he passed away. And they had the funeral and his wife stood up and she said, wait, there's one more thing I need to do before he passed or before we close that casket. I promised him that I would fulfill his will. He wanted to be buried with his money. She walked up there with a big bag and she tucked that thing in and she put it next to him and they closed that casket. And the preacher said, ma'am, are you really going to bury all this money with him? She said, yeah, but here's the thing. Before I put that bag in there, I went down to the bank and I cashed it all out and I wrote him a check. And I put it in that casket for him. So I kept my promise to him. Listen, it's funny, but here's the deal. Your money don't mean much. You know, your God's so much bigger than your pocketbook. The only reason you have the ability to make money is because God gave you that ability anyway. But those that seek me early shall find me. Matthew 7:7-8. A couple more scriptures here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Talking about seeking the Lord. Ask and it shall be what, church? Seek and you shall what? Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, or for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Starting verse number 7. Talking about seeking the Lord. Here's David talking to Asaph. He said, then on that day David delivered first his psalm to thank the Lord unto the hand of Asaph and his brethren. I wonder, church, when's the last time that you just told the Lord thank you? You say, for what? Well, you tell me. You have a wife sitting next to you, man? You have a husband sitting next to you? You have children? Do you have grandchildren? Do you have a church? Do you have a home? Do you have a car? Do you have family? Do you have something to be thankful for? By the way, that's going to be the thing we'll go around the room here in a few minutes. I want you to think of something that you're thankful for. And if you don't mind, we'll take some time and raise our hands and share it as a congregation. Something you're thankful for today. Don't have to be much. Verse 8 says, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing songs unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his name. Let the heart of them that rejoice, that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face, what, church? Continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Church, did you know that singing praises and giving thanks is a great way to seek the Lord? You know, God appreciates it when his people start thanking him. God loves it when his people start worshiping him. And can I say that he is worthy of that? He deserves your worship. He deserves your praise. And by the way, He deserves to hear you say thank you. You ever given someone a gift? And now listen, don't do it for the thank you. But it's pretty cool whenever you give someone a gift and, you know, they might not say it right then, but then they come back later and they say, hey, I really appreciate what you've done for me. And I mean, to any normal person, that feels good to your heart, doesn't it? You know that you've done a good thing. You didn't do it for the praise of man. You did it because God gave you the ability to do it, and you enjoy being a cheerful giver. But man, when they come back, like your little grandkids or your kids at Christmas time, thank you, Papa. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Mom. Their big smiles on their face. You know you did good for someone, and they're thankful for it. Doesn't that feel good? You know that God's the same way? You know it wouldn't hurt to just say, God, I'm so thankful that you gave me the wife you gave me. I'm so thankful that you gave me 4 sons and 2 daughters. I'm so thankful that you knew the desires of my heart and you allowed me to be a pastor. I'm so thankful for the congregation that you chose for me to have. I'm so thankful for the home you've given me. I'm thankful for the car you've given me. I'm thankful for the job you've given me. Hey, church, listen. I got plenty to be thankful for. What about you this morning? Anybody here just want to share something that you're thankful for? Just go ahead and raise your hands. Who wants to start it? I know somebody in here has got to be thankful. Brother Scott. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it is His air that we breathe, right? I mean, it's our bodies that He grants, or His body that He, you know, He just grants us for a while. Our body is just a temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, it proves. Yes, amen. That's what. Yep. I was always thankful when it finally broke and she couldn't reach me no more, because that's when it was over and her target was like, you know, behind the ankles. I didn't tell you the rest of that story. I didn't wear shorts for nearly 2 weeks after that to school. I mean, I couldn't. She'd have went to jail. Probably not. They probably would have said he deserved it. But someone else, something that you're, yes, sir, Brother Andy. Amen. Thankful for your home. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Someone else. Brother Ricky. Amen. Well, I'm thankful that He's brought you this far. Miss Glenda. Amen. Someone else. Yes, ma'am. Uh-oh. You hear that, Brother Scott? 35 years. Praise the Lord. Hey, you know, 35 years, unfortunately, is the rare anymore. You know, the devil is really after the family. And can I tell you this? It's not as the church goes, so goes the family. It's as the family goes, so goes the church. God put a family together long before He did a church. Someone else? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Christian. That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord for healthy babies. Ma'am? Amen. Thankful for your family. Someone else? Miss Crystal. Praise the Lord. Oh! Hey, I mentioned it when I was preaching, see? Miss Christie, I saw you raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Brother Joe. And he means that. You know, Brother Joe showed up yesterday morning, him and Brother Andy at 9:30. We went out, went visiting around the community, knocked on some doors, and had a good time. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Praise the Lord. Me too. Someone else? A couple more. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Miss Jolene, yes, ma'am. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir, Brother Ian. Amen. Amen. That means a lot. Someone else, a couple more. Hey, you know, I got some spankings growing up by other church members too, but that the problem with that was I was going to get it again when I got home. Someone else. I don't want to let you lose your opportunity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, isn't it fun to just say thank you to the Lord? It's a good thing, and what's even better is when you share it with somebody else that can smile and rejoice with you. You know, that's what a church is all about. We rejoice with each other, and we cry with each other, and when it all boils down to it, we just love the Lord. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word, for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for meeting with us this morning. Lord, thank you for these individuals who have raised their hands this morning, and just, Lord, not ashamed to say thank you to a God that's all deserving. And Lord, we're just a people that don't deserve anything. But Lord, you gave us a Savior, and we thank you for it. Now meet with us in this next hour. Bless us now in this time of fellowship. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.